Welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast from ExchangeWire, bringing you the latest news and views from the world of ad tech, media, and marketing.
Good morning and welcome to the Mad Tech Podcast, where we discuss the latest going on in the media and marketing industries. I am Amy, editor at ExchangeWire, and your host for today's episode. I'm joined by our head of content, John Steele. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here, as always.
Yeah, great to have you. And our guest for this episode, Shirley Marshall, who is an independent ad tech expert. Welcome to the pod, Shirley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Amy and John, for having me. Very excited.
Yeah, great to have you here. Our stories today cover investigations launched into social platforms, including TikTok and Reddit, Amazon sales climbing despite a boycott, and Walmart's retail media network. So let's get into the first story. The Information Commissioner's Office has launched three investigations into how TikTok, Reddit, and Imgur protect the privacy of their child users in the UK. The watchdog will be looking at how TikTok uses 13 to 17-year-olds' personal information to make recommendations to them, and how Reddit and Imgur assess the age of their child UK users. So, Shirley, I'll come to you first. Do you think social platforms are doing enough to protect child users' privacy?
Well, I think the short answer is no, they don't. Not unless they're forced to anyway. We've seen this in so many cases that self-regulation usually fails. Worst case, they get a fine, you know, and we have seen this with Meta happen. We have seen that with TikTok before. They get a fine and just pay and continue doing so. So really, no.
Yeah, what do you think on that, John?
Yeah, dead on. Agree with Shirley that they, unless forced, then they don't do anything. They have the money to pay the fines. So I think it's definitely a case of the platforms proceeding until apprehended. They will pay the fines that are given to them by the regulators. And it's a shame that that's the case, because this is such an important thing and has such ramifications for the health and well-being of young people who are brought up in a digital world where they rely on these platforms for communication. They are a powerful source of social interaction for children in the days that we live in. You know, they are very digitally savvy and have been brought up with this existence that friendships are crafted, friendships are made, social time is spent through these platforms. And the fact that they are at any point potentially two clicks away from harmful content, from a bad recommendation that sends them down a spiral. We've seen so many sad cases of young people committing suicide, young people's mental health and well-being being harmed by their appearances on social media, that we've got to the point where Australia has banned it for under 16s. Like, you know, these are the areas that we're now, this is the seriousness of this. And so, yeah, like Shirley and Shaw, the answer is no, they don't. And I think it is quite a serious problem that it is good to see regulators really diving into and seeing what the problems are here.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, John, these platforms can actually become a huge part of young people's lives. So,
yeah, they are, you know, people exist on them. We're in a very different world than, you know, when I was their age, but very many years ago, like, my social life was incredibly different and not defined by a device or an online presence. It was, you know, it was so different. And this is how these kids have grown up and will continue to grow up. So, yeah, we need regulators to show teeth on this stuff, I think.
Yeah, to your point, though, John, the thing is also most of these platforms do have some kind of age, limitation, but the young people today know how to bypass them. So it's kind of, you know, it's a push and pull from both sides. Because young people don't want to miss out on this social life. And so on one side, you have the social platforms, which will do anything to get their data. On the other side, you have the young people who would do anything to get on these platforms. So it's really muddy waters out there. Hard to protect them from themselves.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I do feel like the onus should be on the platforms to, you know, it, for me, they put up fences rather than gates. Like, they, you know, they are bypassable, but they could be more stringent in how they do this, because ultimately they know what their end goal is and the data that they want. But yeah, I do agree. There is, yeah, you know, young people will find what they are looking for online, but it's up to the platforms to really protect them from that, or to work out what is harmful.
Yeah, it's tough for the platforms to be able to actually put measures in place to keep those younger users off. And Shirley, could we see a significant change in how social media platforms prioritize privacy for children in the coming years, do you think?
Well, I do think there are some positive signs, which is that eventually the ICO managed to get Elon Musk under control. So if you manage to get him and X under control, chances are pretty, decent that it will work for TikTok, Reddit, and the likes as well. So I think that's a really good sign. And also, I mean, TikTok, if you just take it one second away from the children and from UK specific, is under enormous geopolitical pressure anyways, which can go either way, because on one side we see the likes of Reddit bidding for TikTok ownership, which could make it even more complicated to regulate this monster. Not monster, but this creature, especially if we're thinking blockchain and because there was just a post the other day about how Reddit is planning to take over or to bid for TikTok and make it blockchain-based, which is another regulator's nightmare. So yes and no, I think there are signs, and I appreciate the efforts by the likes of the ICO and the regulators to get a hand on it, and their previous success shows that it is possible. But there's a big but, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. John, what do you think we could see in the coming years?
I think, as I mentioned before, I think Australia is the outlier here, and the under 16s ban that came through November last year, that's going to come into action at some point this year. And I don't know if we will see more than that. I think that is, it is a big move, and I'm not sure whether we'll see people follow suit in Europe, in the UK. I think this will be a focus coming up, and I think, like Shirley said, the ICO have had some success in terms of what they've done with platforms so far. X isn't serving adverts to under 18s anymore, which is, which is great from the ad standpoint, and that removes that layer of it. But the platforms, I think it spins back to what both of us said to start with. Like, the platforms have to be either de-incentivized for their actions in terms of data collection, or reprimanded for it heavily, so it's not just paying a payable fine, because it's pocket change for most of these corporations. So the change has to come from within, as always. It sounds trite, but these companies have to want and have to be de-incentivized for the collection of their data. It is muddy waters, as Shirley said.
It definitely is. And now moving on to our next story from Forbes. So Amazon sales have defied an economic blackout. Despite calls for an economic blackout targeting major retailers on the 28th of Feb, data reveals that Amazon sales increased during the boycott period. According to analytics from Momentum Commerce, Amazon's transaction rose 1% compared to typical Friday patterns, suggesting the boycott had limited impact. Shirley, what does this tell us about consumer behavior?
Well, funny enough, while I was reading the story on TV, they're talking about how Amazon secured the rights for James Bond. And I think that already says it all. I don't think a one-day boycott is gonna move the needle anywhere. Amazon is so embedded in our daily lives, from every aspect. And just to see the weight of oh my God, Amazon is securing the rights of James Bond, which is and the weight of a one-day boycott, I think that just tells us how much a one-day boycott, is not going to move the needle.
Yeah, John, what do you think there about what this can tell us about consumer behavior?
I like that we're talking about it. I like that the boycott, or the proposed boycott, pierced the public consciousness enough that we're talking about that it happened at all. The fact that Amazon have a 1% uptick on their standard Friday sales is neither here nor there for me. It's that Amazon is a multi-tentacled beast that will make money regardless. But I like the fact that there's enough in it, that there's a story on this, that people did, move to boycott Amazon. in light of Jeff Bezos and his recent actions. And, you know, it depends entirely on the listener's point of view. For me, kissing the ring of the new Trump organization and his new, you know, his newfound passion for free speech and free enterprise and his iron fist approach to the Washington Post editorial section, which is why the boycott came about to start with. And so, no, obviously it is incredibly hard for anyone to really boycott Amazon, because it has fingers in many pies across our lives, as Shirley said. But for my own positive spin, I do support this kind of direct action and people who want to make a difference this way. So I am glad that it is something that we can at least talk about and look at the reasons why. But yeah, Amazon, as we'll come to, I think is quite the monolith, and I'm not sure. It is a shame that it didn't really have any direct impact, but I like to see it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, John. Do you think at this point anything could stand in the way of Amazon's success?
No. I mean, it is the easiest possible thing to say, and is the James Bond analogy, like, you know, this is the James Bond villain that could buy MI5. Like, they are beyond, like, the size that they are, that they will be restricted. They are too ubiquitous. And I say this as someone who's just supported direct action. The fact I have an Amazon Prime account, I will watch TV on this evening. The fact that if I need something urgently for my children, then I'll be on Amazon for it to be delivered to me the next day. Like, they have me. I am in their claws. And I know that's true for an awful lot of people. And it is, like, it's hard to extricate yourself from that as well, because there's not really, you know, there is a whole marketplace and a whole world out there, but they do offer something that people have come to rely on. I personally have come to rely on. And they have so many opportunities with their TV offering, with retail media, with their retail anyway, with the intellectual properties they're buying, such as James Bond. But yeah, I'm like, at this point, James Bond would be getting off the tuxedo, starting his martini, and just giving up the ghost and saying, nah, they've won.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in the same boat there. Shirley, do you agree?
I fully agree. First of all, I think we need to define what is Amazon, because Amazon is not just a retailer. Like you said, it's a streaming service. It owns the cloud, you know, a big chunk of the cloud. It's leading in the AI world. It's what is not Amazon? So when we say, could anything stop Amazon? Yeah, regulators could. I mean, every giant can fall, right? But it's very unlikely. And at the moment, I mean, that's kind of also tying back to the boycott thing. I don't know if you saw this. It's not Amazon, but it's on Netflix, the Buy It documentary about all the bad practices of Amazon and, you know, pretty much bring so much garbage to the world that everything is flooded. And what do we see as a reaction? Just a few days ago, Amazon announced that they will launch Amazon Haul, which is, to compete with Temu and Shine. So, no matter how into which direction you kind of turn this thing, it's just at the moment unstoppable.
Yeah, and exactly to that point, in terms of Amazon Haul and the Temu, like, rivalry, if they see something that threatens their position in the retail market, they'll do their own version of it or buy it. It's it is a very difficult to see how Amazon can particularly, you know, not be stopped exactly, but even be slowed. Regulation is the one, but I'm not sure we're in that world now at the moment where that's going to be on the horizon for us either. I don't think Amazon is slowing anytime soon.
Yeah, it's got colossal influence at the moment. I don't think its empire will be falling yet. Maybe one day though. Now, for our last piece of news, we're looking at another retail giant, Walmart. An article from DigiDay discusses that, according to Walmart's latest earnings report, its ad business grew 27% year over year in 2024, netting $4.4 billion in global ad revenue for the year. Meanwhile, the company continues to evolve its ad offerings. Shirley, the article mentions that buyers believe Walmart needs to focus on streaming and CTV. Do you agree with that?
To a certain degree. So I think I think what Walmart did in terms of retail media network is really impressive. I mean, they're at a solid second place right now, which is a really good place right after Amazon, especially looking that at the moment there are like 250 plus retail media networks. But yes, we do see how, you know, CTV and retail media is moving together. But what I think and that's the big differentiation to the Amazon retail media network is I think Walmart should go with strategic partnerships. They could be the retail media network data provider for all the big CTV streaming services out there, or some of them at least. And that could be a really, really good point for them to differentiate themselves. I would not want to see, it's not my decision, but if I were the one to recommend them, I would not go for the, you know, merger or acquisition or, you know, like building their own streaming thing. Because, again, we'll come back to the point where Amazon is undefeatable in that, and they've been in this business for ages. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, need to be strategic. John, what do you think?
They are one to watch. Absolutely, Walmart. They are building a huge advertising business, really, with I think it's $4.4 billion in global ad revenue that their company have bought in, which is really impressive. And we hear a lot about retail media and its margins. And Walmart are obviously well ahead of the game on that in terms of the shopper data that they have. And they have a huge platform with which they can offer some really, you know, impressive targeting and I'm sure impressive results. CTV play is really interesting. You know, the purchase of Vizio last year, they want to make moves into that. I'd share Shirley's concerns that this is already a market that's either dominated in that area by one big player and also quite fragmented elsewhere. We're seeing an awful lot of CTV and streaming services. You wouldn't want to see Walmart turn into like a content provider, its own studio that was doing this stuff. It has other strengths that maybe it would do better to capitalize on in terms of the retail media play rather than going to CTV. But there is like an opportunity and a big omnichannel opportunity there as well for someone like Walmart who really are looking to take the ad market by storm, I think.
Mm. And John, just comparing there with Amazon again, how do you think we could see the competition between both shape up in the coming years?
I think we touched a lot on that in the last story. It's like it is incredibly hard to compete with Amazon. But Walmart's numbers, and it's that kind of, again, I think it comes down to taking advantage of your niche and the area you're in. I wouldn't want to see that. I'd like them to pick their battle, basically. I wouldn't want to see them overstretch and try and compete on all fronts and become an Amazon, because that's, you know, that ship may have sailed. But they can take a dent. Like, Walmart's a really trusted, really strong brand, like a loyal customer base. And they're proving with the amounts that they're taking in ad revenue and the avenues that they are going down, that there's a huge market for them. So don't compete on all fronts, perhaps, but they could take a dent, which is nice.
Yeah. Shirley, what do you think?
Yeah, I fully agree. I think they should enjoy their second place, which is quite impressive. And I'm going to echo what you just said, John, but I think also that they have so many unique qualities that differentiate them from Amazon that they should just own. They are the leaders in brick and mortar. And that is something that Amazon is nowhere even, you know, in that area, they simply don't compete. And what also, especially in the whole, you know, as a retail media network in the whole ad tech ecosystem, they've been doing some smart moves about partnerships and being more, you know, not building this own walled garden. And I think they should continue going this, you know, as I said about CTV, just embrace this partnerships and all that. And you know, one other thing when I think about that is this whole, if we think about retail media networks for a second, they are built on our data. These networks are selling our data. So we saw cookies pretty much dying. We saw third-party data being cracked down at the moment. I wouldn't put all my eggs into the basket of first-party data. And I think if that ever is to break, then Walmart is in an entirely different position because they do have this brick and mortar, which is a retail media network in itself. They will always have like the on-site. I think they should strengthen their position where they are, build it out with strategic partnerships, and don't try to copy Amazon. They don't need that, frankly.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Both retailers do have quite different offerings as well. It's an interesting point about the first party data. I mean, we've seen the industry change so much over like the past decade, really. Okay, I think that's a good note to finish on. Thanks so much for joining us, Shirley. It's been great to have your insight.
Thank you again for having me. It was great chatting to you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll have to have you back at some point. And thanks as always, John.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
And thanks to all our listeners.
You've been listening to the MadTech Podcast, brought to you by ExchangeWire.